greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a blessing to be here with you all this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We just ask your blessing upon us today, Lord, as we meet together. Lord, help us to bring glory and honor to you, Father. Lord, we just ask that you would fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom, Father, as we open your word. Help us understand, Lord, your desire for us, Father. Help us to live for you, Lord. We ask again your blessing in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. Let's open our Bibles to first letter to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Begin reading in verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, according to the commandment of God our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, who is our hope. To Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Just want to comment here as the beginnings of these writings is Paul declared or told who he was, and it was according to the commandment of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus, who is our hope. And I just appreciate and like the emphasis here of the Christ Jesus, who is our hope. Not how well I can do, who is my hope, but the church, the early church, their hope was in Christ Jesus, and the true church, and the faithful church throughout history. Not in all of the things they understood, not in all of the things that they were able to accomplish or do, but their hope was in Christ Jesus. And that's the foundation that keeps us where we're supposed to be, having our hope firmly grounded and settled in Christ. To Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace. What a wonderful trinity of things that we could live for and strive for and seek and receive from God our Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. If we have grace, mercy, and peace, we're not going to get tangled up in what the boys' lessons was about. We don't have to have all of those other things. If we have grace, mercy, and peace, that should be what we strive for. As I urged you upon my departure from Macedonia, remain on in Ephesus so that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines, nor to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies which give rise to mere speculation, rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. Here again, keeping our focus on our hope, grace, mercy, and peace. We don't have to get all caught up in all of these strange doctrines. And sometimes when we think of strange doctrines, we think of something way out there, which there's a lot of people get caught up in things way out there. But the focus is not on all of those things, but on the real things. Hope, grace, mercy, and peace. It says, nor to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies which give rise to mere speculation, rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. But the goal of our instruction is love. What is the goal of all our instruction? To increase our knowledge? to know how to fight better, to keep ourselves, to protect ourselves. The goal of our instruction is love. It's that simple. If we keep our focus on the real things here instead of the tangible things that we can tickle ourselves with, that's how we please God, and that's how we carry out the administration of God. The goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. For some men straying from these things have turned aside to fruitless discussion, wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either what they are saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Now I want to go back here to verse 5. That's what I want to focus on. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. What I want to talk about this morning is the conscience. The conscience is one of the most, when it is pure and right, most blessed things in the world. But a conscience that is not just pure and right is one of the most evil things in the world and most dangerous things in the world. I think the conscience is what causes people to stray into these endless discussions and all of these different things that it's talking about. People trying to appease their conscience. Many, many, many religious people are religious because of a guilty conscience. The strictness in their religion is driven by a guilty conscience. Some people think that that's the purpose of the conscience, to drive us to strict religion and to be very self-conscious about how we live. But the Bible talks about a good conscience. I want to read a few verses here in other places. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, and keep a good conscience, so that the thing which you are slandered, those who reveal your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. It's talking about a good conscience. Verse 21 says, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Read some more here. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 9. Verse 8, I'll begin. And the Holy Spirit is signifying this, that the way to the holy place has not been disclosed while the outer tabernacle is still standing, which is a symbol for the present time, according both to gifts and sacrifices were offered, which cannot make the worshiper perfect in conscience. And then verse 14. Or 13, for if the blood of goats and bulls and ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled, sanctified for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You can see the pattern here of all of the external religious effort that was put in to practice was trying to appease man's conscience. The strict religion that the law brought about was an effort for individuals to appease their own conscience. And all of the blood of the bulls and goats shed throughout history was not able to do this one thing: to give the person a clean conscience. That's the importance of what Jesus did when he died on the cross and shed his blood for us. That it wasn't just sheep and goats and sacrifice and religion and strict religion that cleared the conscience, but it was the actual dying of Christ himself, God in the flesh, that by his death he was able to cleanse that conscience or set that conscience free from Satan's grip. Satan is why our consciences are all messed up. He has a direct line to the conscience of human beings. That's why consciences are so messed up, because Satan's in control of them. But by Jesus dying and shedding his blood, he's able to cleanse our consciences, set them free from the power of Satan. That's why I think so much religion, their hope is not truly in Christ. We say those words, but the hope is not truly there. Because the real hope of being in Christ is first when our consciences have been cleansed and set free from Satan's power, so that we can then have a pure and clean conscience before God. Satan, you know, we think of the conscience as something that, oh, God gave the conscience so that we know how to live right. The problem is Satan has equal access to our consciences. You know, we've seen the little cartoons where you got an angel saying the good thing in this ear and a devil saying the bad thing in this ear, and the person is in a battle whether which one he's going to listen to. Well, in a world where Satan isn't already in control of the conscience, that might work. But our consciences are either controlled by Satan or the devil or Jesus. It's not like it's just we're just a blank sheet here or a neutral element in this, and we just have to decide every day which one we're going to listen to. The reason the conscience is messed up in the first place, the reason Jesus had to die in the first place, is because Satan had control of our consciences. And in that, we still have decisions to make. There's little good things and little bad things. But if Satan's still in charge of it all, it doesn't really matter. Jesus came to cleanse our conscience from all those dead works, from all of those things that we might do to perform to try to appease our conscience. He came to cleanse us from our conscience. Is that just some magical thing that you do when you say a little prayer and wow, boom, it's all done? No, the way that is applied is when we yield our wills back to the Lord. We yield ourselves. We surrender. We repent. That's when it is when we're born again, is whenever our conscience has been cleared, because we've chosen not to do our own way anymore, but now we're going to do the Lord's way. That's what the purpose of a clear conscience, or purpose of Jesus coming to give us that clear conscience. Hebrews chapter 10. Says verse 1, "For the law, since it is only a shadow of the good things to come and not the very form of things, can never by the same sacrifice which they offer continually, year by year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise would they not have ceased to be offered, because the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have had the consciousness of sin." If all of those efforts would have been able to set our consciences free, there would have been no need for anything else. Verse 22, "Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Focus here: to have our consciences clean and pure. Like I said, a lot of times we think of our conscience as our guide. But it's not a true guide. We're in a corrupt world where our consciences become too sensitive sometimes. And our goal is to try to keep, we fight this battle with our conscience continually. And we wind up fighting our consciences, or trying to appease our consciences, instead of appealing to God for a clear conscience. When our consciences are so sensitive that we're just a servant to our conscience, we're missing the whole heart, the whole essence of what Christ came to do. The reason most of us are here is because we've got a conscience, and it's driven us to something higher and something better. But it's our conscience that's brought us here. It's not what's going to deliver us. A clean conscience is someone that's heard the voice of the Lord and just surrendered to it. And we battle, some of us, with our consciences continually. And what I just want to share with you is, that's not where the real battle is. When we allow ourselves just to be controlled by our conscience, there is no rest at all. There is no safety at all. We think we're really doing something because we're attentive to our conscience and just trying to do every little thing, jump through every little hoop it's telling us to. But there's no peace. There's no rest. What did we first begin with? Hope, grace, peace. Those things that a clear conscience gives us. But if we go chasing after, trying to appease our conscience and trying to fix every little thing so that we can have that rest, we just are on an endless treadmill that all the religious acts, all the blood of bulls and goats could not do. We wouldn't think of offering a bull or a goat to But we'll do all kinds of religious things because our conscience tells us to. We separate from brethren because our conscience is smitten. We do this, we do that, we run all over the world, we have no rest. It's what drives people from one group to the other because something in that group upset their conscience, and so they obey their conscience and fly off to the next group to try to find peace there until something in that group upsets their conscience and they fly off to the next group. We used to talk about Tell you, wind off somewhere on a hill in the middle of Kentucky all by yourself, and you soon find out that your conscience followed you there. And even all by yourself, you cannot appease your conscience, because it took Jesus Christ dying and that blood that He shed to give us that clean conscience. Don't get caught up in the trap of just trying to chase after and keep your conscience clean. You will never do anything about it. Our hope is in Christ. We know what we need to be doing. A person that follows Jesus is not someone that's in bondage or a slave to their conscience. They just do what they need to do. And when they fail, they get right back up, dust themselves off, and keep on doing what they need to do. The blood has been shed. The sacrifice has been made. The cleansing of our conscience has already taken place. Jesus did it over 2,000 years ago when He defeated Satan. Quit trying to fight that battle over and over again. Our hope is in Christ. And that's the beautiful thing about these early, the writings and the people who've been faithful. They weren't slaves to their consciences. They weren't fretting and worrying and scared to death. Read these. Let's go back here and read this. Paul, an apostle of Christ, according to the commandment of God, our Savior, and of Christ, who is our hope. Where's the fretting and worrying and scared to death that, my conscience has smitten me. Oh no, what? It's not here. To Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father. That's the earmark of all of the beginnings of all of these letters. It was to people who had hope in Christ Jesus. And their desire was grace, peace, and mercy from God. That's the way they lived. The people, when the Bible talks about the law and the people who are trying to keep the law, and it's a people striving to satisfy their own conscience. They missed it. That's what's missing. That's the difference between people who say and do all the right things. They're trying to appease their own conscience. They're in bondage to their own consciences instead of being free to choose to obey our Lord and to follow Him. They're not trying to obey Him to appease their own conscience. We obey Him because we love Him and want to please our God, who is our hope, who offers grace, mercy, and peace. We can show that to others because we've tasted it ourselves. When we've tasted nothing but a guilty conscience, that's all that we can lay on others. We begin to look at people through our dirty consciences, and we see them in ourselves. We see other people as a reflection of ourselves. We have a mirror conscience. We look at others and we see nothing but the filth that's in us. We look at others and we see nothing but the guilt that is in us. And that's how we see other people. Suspicion, because that's what we see in ourselves. Guilty conscience, because that's what we see in ourselves. Slavery, because that's what we see in ourselves. Instead of grace, mercy, peace. People who've tasted grace, mercy, and peace can look out, no matter what anybody else is doing, see grace, mercy, and peace to give to someone else. People who don't know that have that guilty conscience, see nothing but dirty, wretched people, because that's what they see in themselves. Guilty conscience, the power of a guilty conscience drives us to terrible lows, brings us to depression, always gloomy, always wrong, brings shame. And most of it is, you know, when we do something wrong, if we truly own it, we can bring it right back and fix it and go right on. But if we don't and we try to bury it, it just causes shame and guilt, and we're going around living with it of what we've done wrong. We carry it, and it distorts our vision so that we can't really see what's right. We wonder sometimes, why in the world? We see things happening, and we just think, how in the world can they not see what they're doing? Why can they be so hypocritical in what they're saying and doing? And we wonder, why can't their conscience has distorted their vision and they can't see anything anymore? The conscience, a guilty conscience, has to get rid of light. It drives to that. It goes to that. I mean, that's where it builds to. First, it just can't get along. First, it feels bad. But eventually, it has to put the light out. Why? We think of how can men be driven to take a man and put him on a cross? How can men be driven to condemn someone they know is innocent to death and think that they're doing what's right? They're trying to appease their own conscience. And they think if we can just get rid of that light, then my conscience will be settled. So they go after the light. You know, if there was no conscience, there wouldn't be evil. A man with no conscience, he's not trying to get rid of light. He's just a reprobate. He's just going through wrong, doing wrong. But he's not trying to get rid of light. He's just wrong. That's what a reprobate is. Paul compared himself, though we be as reprobates. His conscience was not his master. And he could do things nobody else could do almost, to where it appeared like he was a reprobate. Because he had a clear conscience. A clear conscience is very similar to someone who has no conscience. The problem is, the one with the clear conscience can do things right. The one with no conscience can do things wrong, and it doesn't bother him. Jesus came to clear our conscience so that we could go through this life as innocent as Adam in the Garden of Eden. To go through this life just doing right, working with God, pleasing God, just doing what they're supposed to do. But when our conscience gets tainted and we start listening to our conscience instead of just doing what's right, when our hope is in whether we have a clear conscience or not instead of Jesus alive, living, because he overcame Satan and he's living, he's our living hope. And our hope is in him, and we live this way with this innocence, this clear conscience, because of what he's done. Don't get sidetracked by trying to appease your conscience again. He came to set us free from that. Do what's right. Walk with the Lord. Walk in the light. You go chasing your dark conscience, it will not lead to light. But eventually, it will lead to trying to put out the light. These were very religious people that wanted Jesus dead. These were very religious people, very conscience-sensitive people that wanted Jesus dead. They were trying to appease their consciences. And it brought them to this. And that's where it leads. Put your hope in Jesus, and you'll have peace. You'll have rest. You'll have mercy. You'll have grace. If you try to keep your conscience all satisfied, you're on a treadmill that goes faster and faster and faster and faster to darkness, and eventually trying to put the light out. May the Lord add his blessings. Yeah.
praise my soul.